welcome to another exciting episode. Well, I was going to say constitutionally correct. That's usually my mantra, but we're not doing a constitutionally correct show tonight. We are doing a Constitution Party talk radio show tonight, folks. And I am your host, constitutional evangelist Randy Stufflebeam, and my guest tonight is Karen Murray. And Karen comes to us from that great state of Washington, and she is the communications director for both the National Party and for the party up there in Washington. And she has been an author of a couple of books. And one fact, you can go on to the ConstitutionParty.com website and purchase one of the books. In fact, you might just want to do that because there's an article that she included that included a peace of mind. So a little infamy there. And she does quite a little bit of stuff with publishing and, of course, certainly works with the Constitution Party. Welcome to the show there, Karen.
Hey, thanks, Randy. It's great to be on.
Well, had a little bit of a rough start. Not quite as rough as it was last week getting started. But technical difficulties is sometimes just very, very irritating.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, before we get into some things, can I kind of give a little bit of an introduction? You want to give any other background on, well, I guess, what brings you to the Constitution Party? What made you a constitutionalist?
What made me a constitutionalist? I think I was kind of somewhat raised that way. My dad was in the Army or the Air National Guard Reserve in Southern California, but he was assigned to work with Strategic Air Command Intel, and one of their jobs was to go around and do anti-communist information lectures to whoever wanted it. So I think I kind of was born to it a little bit. But as I got older, as a teenager, kind of went through Vietnam, and then I married a Marine, and at the end in 74, so at the end of Vietnam, and then went through Gulf War Part One, and I think it was at the end of Gulf War Part One, and I was living in base housing in 29 Palms. Some of you probably know that base.
Yep.
Yep.
Did some training out there quite frequently, actually, as a grunt, and know those Delta corridors quite well.
Okay. Well, I was living in housing in 91, and I was in the kitchen cooking, and I remember hearing George Bush on the news, George Bush the first, say, New World Order. And I dropped what I was doing, and I went in, and I said, did I just hear what I think I heard? You know? And as it came out, it became obvious to a few of us that, you know, things just weren't right. And being on the base and watching how things played out with that war, with our guys going and coming and just the whole feeling, something didn't feel right. And so it started me kind of searching. And soon after that, I moved to Washington, up north of Spokane in the mountains, and started homeschooling. And in the process of looking for curriculum, I came across a book called The Making of America by Cleon Skousen, was using that for curriculum. But I also lived not that far away from Ruby Ridge when all of Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver happened, and so was kind of pretty close to the things that were going on there and had heard that something was going to happen via our little grapevine up there. And so in the process, my eyes started really being opened to a lot of things that were happening and being concerned about what should I teach my children. And long story short, over several years, I ended up moving to this other town where I'm at and ran into some other people who were interested. We started a Constitution Party study group, not Constitution Party, sorry. I didn't even know about the Constitution Party at that point. And we just started having a little Constitution study group with 30, what was it called? I can't remember what it's called, but it's from the National Center for Constitutional Studies and basically uses The Making of America as its basic textbook.
Right.
And one day, I started looking around for a party. I kind of knew what I didn't want, and so I kind of looked at the libertarians and dismissed that one because I just thought they were too loose on some social issues. And then I don't know how this happened, but I got a letter in the mail and said, hey, the Constitution Party is having a meeting in Ellensburg, which happens to be about an hour from my house, which is doable because I live about 4.5 hours or so from the state capitol, and, you know, driving can be difficult over the Cascades. So here was something kind of convenient. And I said, okay, I'll go. So I got my two cohorts in constitutional crime, as we called ourselves at that time. And we went to
You were extremists before extremists were cool.
We were, yes. This was a time period when militia was a dirty word, and constitution, actually, you mentioned the word constitution, and people kind of put up the cross to block the vampire kind of symbol, you know, thing. And so we had people drop out. We had a deputy sheriff drop out of our Constitution study group because things were getting pretty tense as far as who was going to be watching on who, you know. And so he didn't want to get caught in that. And so it was kind of an interesting time. And so we went over to this meeting, and that's when we first, and I knew when I went to that meeting that day, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to join this. I'm just going to go see what it's like and check it out, you know. Well, I went away that day with starting to organize my own county here.
Huh.
So, because I just knew that that was the right thing.
Okay, but now, but you said, well, I kind of knew what I wanted, but I knew what I didn't want. And, you know, you mentioned the libertarians, but, you know, why not the Republican Party? I mean, we both have been in the party long enough now. We've heard all the mantras. And, you know, there is certainly an element of truth. I mean, if we both wanted to get elected, you know, obviously the Republican Party would be kind of a place to go to. So why not the Republican Party? I mean, we're not discussing the Democrat. I think we've got a good idea why you wouldn't go there, but why not the Republican Party?
You know, these things are hard to explain, Randy. it's kind of, I had quit voting Republican before I ever heard of the Constitution Party. I had basically, I mean, my way of choosing president between George Bush the first and Clinton was, who did I trust to take care of my children in a daycare situation? If I had to have a babysitter, who would I choose? Okay. Because there really was, I had known about the New World Order probably since high school. It wasn't anything new to me. That I knew that terminology. I kind of knew what that meant. I didn't have all of it fleshed out as to understanding what that meant. But I also could see that things weren't going the way that they should be going. And so I kind of had, you know, looked at Ross Perot and just different people all along the way. And my father was staunch Republican. You know, I mean, he financial supporter of Republican Party, and, you know, never would have dawned on me that I would be something different. But as time went on, starting around the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, it just, something didn't feel right about the way the country was going under the Republican leadership. And that's the best explanation I can give you. It didn't feel right. So.
Yeah. Are you hearing any kind of electronic? Am I sounding okay to you?
Yeah, you're sounding much better than earlier. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting because you're coming in like almost like one of those digital robots, the voice. But,
okay.
But I can still pretty well make out what you're saying, and I dialed in just in case I have problems, so I'm ready to switch over real quickly if I need to.
Okay.
Well, so I lost a little bit of the reason for the Republican, but I'm sure that it's pretty much the same story as why I would. In fact, my story comes from when I retired out of the Marine Corps in 2003, and towards the end of that year was when the whole ordeal with Chief Justice Roy Moore happened, and the federal government removed him from his job as the state Supreme Court justice. And when I saw that, I was just absolutely mind blown. And that happened under Bush, too. And, you know, when you see that happen, and, you know, I'm just thinking, how is it possible you've got a president, a Republican president, who is supposed to be upholding the Constitution, allowing that kangaroo court kind of crap go on? And, of course, interestingly, and I know you know this, Chief Justice Roy Moore has since been reelected to that position. So and already doing some awesome things as Chief Justice there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good that he got reelected. So.
Yeah.
The people spoke.
So let's talk a little bit. We've got just a few minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about you made a run for a political office. Why don't you tell our listeners about that a little bit?
Okay, I did. I ran for Secretary of State this year in Washington State. We came in, it was a wide open field. We had seven people running because the incumbent was not returning. So it kind of opened it up for a lot of people. We have the top two primary in our state. And so the primary is for third parties, alternate parties, is where you really have to focus. Because if you can't become one of the top two contenders, then you're out anyway. So we came in fifth out of seventh with 50,000 votes. First time my running, so I had no name recognition or anything like this. But because of the situation in the state with the top two primary, with some laws regarding ballot access and some difficulties that we have with that, also with some voter fraud issues where, for instance, King County supposedly counted dead people the last time around, and it was kind of nasty over there. That's the Seattle area. I live in the more rural middle of the state, and which tends to be more conservative as opposed to the Seattle area, which tends to be more liberal. So there's this ongoing little argument that involves the Cascades as mountain range as our little boundary between two kind of conservative and liberal worlds. And yet, because of these issues that we were having, we were able to pull together Republican PCOs, Democrat PCOs. We were able to pull in endorsements from the Progressive Party, which is like the old Bull Moose Party, and also the Independent American Party. So we were able to kind of build a whole coalition kind of people who set aside their party preference at that point and voted for what we were saying because we had the right message at the right time on fighting voter fraud and voter ID and different issues like that. So we did a good job. We still have good connections, and hopefully we can build on that in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. That top two is just one of the most horrible pieces of legislation. And of course, currently Washington and California both are utilizing that particular I want to just call it almost an abortion, but I guess I should be nice. Let's when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about what you're doing within the Constitution Party in terms of what your job is as communications director, and then probably towards the end of the third segment, during the third segment, we'll open up the phone lines for our listeners. Okay. And for our guests, if you have, we've got some callers that have called in. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can hit the number 1 on your keypad. There's also for folks that are live, you can actually log in, and we've got a chat, and you can be a part of that. So look forward to everyone being a part of that. We'll cover that a little bit more about what you're doing in the second segment. And so stick with us, folks, and we'll be right back. back and with Constitution Party Talk Radio. And folks, I would really like if you get an opportunity to send me an email and let me know what you think about the Constitution Party Talk Radio show, what you would like to see, things you like, things you don't like about it, and give me some feedback so we can really tune this up and make it the best show out there and make sure that it provides content that people are interested in. And getting back to Karen and what her job is communications director. And so give us a little bit of a feel as to what all that entails. I know you're doing it for both the national and for your state, and primarily focus on the national, but you can throw in some of the state stuff that you're doing as well.
Okay. When we started this a couple of years ago, or maybe even 3 years ago now, we basically had no organization for communications at the national level. A lot of things had happened to change. We had people come and go. And so at this one little point here, we were kind of floundering about. And so I had been helping out with some media releases and different things like that, because we'd been successful with our media releases here in Washington State in getting favorable press. And so I was asked to kind of help out a little bit, and so with national, and so we did. And as things happened, we decided to start organizing it. And so we started doing a new website, which we will have some more announcements about that in the near future, because we're going to move through another stage of development there. And then we basically, as communications director, I've kind of been looking at each of the different pieces of communication, like communicating with the public, communicating within our own community, our own leadership, and trying to help develop our own brand, our own way, our own image, so to speak. Right. And so as we've been going through this process, we've been identifying, you know, our things that we need to work on, and we've been slowly starting to find the right people for the right positions. And so hopefully in the next few months, we will be doing some really exciting things. First off, we got Randy here taking care of our radio. And this is a really important outreach for us, is this Blog Talk Radio, because it's easy access for most people, and we have the archives. And so I'm really excited about that and promoting that. We have Cynthia Davis in Missouri, who is also doing some radio. She's not doing the national show, but she's doing a really good radio show called Homefront, and so we're promoting her show a little bit. We have the Podcastles, and we have some plans coming up with the Podcastles, and the Podcastles are current event-related, world affairs-related talks by Daryl Castle that he does 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we develop images for those and get those posted out on Facebook. So if you guys are not on Facebook, or you are on Facebook and don't know, we have a national fan page there where we post our official statements, say, on the Second Amendment or whatever issue, where we have ads that we like to get posted around. And so you can check us out there. So we're going to be expanding that. We've actually done some YouTube videos with the podcasts, and those are available on YouTube. Let's see, what else are we doing? We will be developing some videos in the next few months and hope to have some of those done by summer, have a good amount going there. And those plans are still in the works, but they're kind of in the middle stage, and we'll have more on that later on. So does that help, Randy?
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the website, what people can expect when they get there, what they can navigate around, and you know, and also give the web address not only to our website, but also to our Facebook pages. For people listening in, they know they can go to our Facebook pages as well.
Okay, so our website is www.constitutionparty.com. When you first get there, we are in a work in progress so be patient with us on this. We have mostly volunteer work on this, and so it's, like I said, a work in progress. We have a new guy coming on board, and there will be some more announcements here in the next few weeks. So basically, you can go there. You'll see a menu bar across the top. You can click on Get Involved if you want to find out where your state party is doing. You can go to some other – I don't have it in front of me, so I'm trying to do this from memory, but there's also where you can find out about our principles, where you'll see the platform will be there. And with the platform, if you click on the link, once you're on the platform page, a box will open up, and the plank will be inside that box that you can read. Let's see what else we have. Our donations, of course. We're a totally individually supported organization. We don't take money from PACs or the government or anything other than individual voters. So we need you to do that. There's a donation. Right now there's three donation buttons on the page. So
And let me stop right there, because I think that's very, very important for people to understand the difference between the Constitution Party and virtually every other party out there is the fact that we are not owned by the corporations. We are not owned by any super PACs or any PACs whatsoever. We're not owned by the union. We are only owned by those who contribute, individuals. Those who can vote and participate in government are the only ones that are allowed. So that means when we get elected to office, we are not beholden to anybody but our constituents and to the Constitution. That means we can act appropriately and rightly and not be bound down by, well, you know, if you want another $50,000, you're going to have to vote this way or that way. No, we vote according to the Constitution and according to principles, not according to money here. But that means we desperately need your help, folks. We need you to support this party, both in time and in money, because it's a grassroots effort. And if you're sick and tired of seeing the direction that this country's going in, you need to get involved. You need to get involved not only saying, hey, I support you guys, hope you do well. No, we need your support and your time, your money, your efforts, and doing the things that's necessary to building this party, because I believe at the end of the day, without this party, this country is doomed, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree, Randy. And that's one of the things that people will talk and they'll say, well, you're just another political party. And I say, no, we're not your daddy's political party. We are way different than that. I said, not only are we not funded the same way, I said, when our candidates get in there, their job is to uphold the Constitution and to protect their constituents from their rights being encroached upon by the federal or the state government, depending upon what level they are at. So that is a whole different thing than we're in office to get power and gain for our party, and we have to defeat the evil other guy. Ours is you go in, you look at what the Constitution says, you apply those principles, and if it's not to bring home the bacon, it's to keep the pig in the poke in the beginning and not let him out, you know, and not let the robber barons have him. So that's basically the main difference. We are not the same political party that you're used to.
Yeah, absolutely not. And it's what this country desperately needs, and it's what people, if they would just have the courage to step out of that duopoly, we would see a change in this government overnight. Because at the basis of this, you know, I won't test you on this. I don't want to embarrass you. But, you know, I will say that the single principle that made this country great, outside the Constitution, there's one principle at the basis of everything that made this country great, and that is competition. And we believe in America in competition so much that we even have antitrust laws to make sure there's no monopolies and duopolies and triopolies, and they can fix prices and gouge us and all of that. And we believe it so much, except in every arena except for politics. And then somehow we want to say that two parties really is going to give us the competition we need to take back our country, to fix the wrongs and all this other garbage. And it's insanity at best.
Yeah, when I was working on that book, America Needs a Third Party Now, the first chapter is about the history of third parties or third parties in America. And people, what this book is a collection of essays from people in the Constitution Party. And this is the one that Randy was talking about as being available through our website. And one of the things I noticed was I put a list in there of all the parties that I could find online that have been in this country, and you would be very much surprised. One of the things I do for a hobby is family history, and one of the things I love is that California has these voting registers that you can get into and find your ancestors. And you go back to the 30s and the 20s and the teens, and people were registering by party, and they were Republicans or Democrats or about five other things, and that they could say they were progressives or socialists or nothing stated, NS, no stated, nothing stated. And so you could go back and see, wow, there were a lot more than you know, and there's even way more than that if you look at the list on a book, or you can go to Wikipedia and look up third parties, and there's a list there of third parties in America that shows you clearly that this mindset that we're in, that it has to only be two parties, is a false mindset set up to keep power from the people and in the hands of the elite. So,
yeah. And the thing is, what, certainly the Constitution Party is the party that fits me best out of everything that's out there. And so I'm doing everything that I can to build the Constitution Party. But the Constitution Party, people have to understand, the Constitution Party is just a tool. It is a partisan party. And what we're looking to do is destroy that two-party duopoly so that we can start bringing competition back into the political arena. Because what happens is, when I tell people about the concept of what competition does, well, we know that competition in the marketplace is it gives us the best product for the best price. And when you start having regulations, when you start having a monopoly, what happens? Quality goes down and price goes up. And that's exactly what we see in the political world, is that since they are able to control the market within politics, they control who's elected and all of that. And if people don't believe it, you pull your head up out of the sand and start taking a look around in reality. There is a control out there. And what it is we've got to start getting competition back there, because that's what will eliminate the corruption. If a guy is afraid he's not going to have his seat, it's not going to do him any good to say, hey, I'll vote next year for your thing. He might not be there. And so we can actually start eradicating all of this corruption if we simply had competition. And so I'm a strong advocate of not just a third party, not just a fourth party, but a multiple party. I am so diametrically opposed to just about everything the Green Party stands for. Yet, I would fight for them to have a place and a seat within this political arena, because they bring a perspective that, look, if we can't have a good argument against their positions, what are we doing? So, I'm a strong advocate of the multiple party system. So we're at the end of our second segment. That's going by pretty quick. And stay with us, folks, and we'll be right back for third segment, and we'll open the lines for any comments or questions that you might have. Stay with us. Welcome back to our third and final segment that we are doing for broadcasting on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We'll open the lines and continue discussion if there's more discussion to be had once we finish these segments. And for folks who are listening to this broadcast at the Liberty Works Radio Network, you can find all of the archives at blogtalkradio.com/constitutionally- and that's the minus sign, correct. And that's blogtalkradio.com/constitutionally-correct. And you can check out all of our broadcasts. We are broadcasting every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. You can join us for live broadcast and ask questions, make comments, and participate in this. So we would really like for you to join us. We've got some listeners online right now, so if you have a question or a comment for either myself or the guest or regarding the communications director or anything about the party, feel free to hit the number one on your keypad and I'll unmute you. But let's talk about, you know, the reality, Karen. Why the Constitution Party? Why should people take a look at us as a real and viable organization that has the opportunity to really take on the two-party duopoly?
Well, I think our name kind of says it all. It stands for something very specific. It stands for the rule of law in the Constitution. People have been very negative about the idea that we use the word Constitution Party. Oh, you know, that's just a word. It doesn't mean anything. But to us, it does mean something. It means rule of law under Article 6 is the supreme law of the land. Those principles from the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, are what we base our platform and our issue, our issues on, our statements, our positions on. And so we're the only party doing that. And if we don't have a rule of law, then we have chaos. And that's what we're starting to experience in our nation. We are starting to experience economic chaos, social chaos, chaos with our homes, our families, our jobs. Our whole value system is being questioned in this country right now because we like to do our own thing and not adhere to the rule of law or the principles behind that. And that's what we're needed. We need to put the Constitution Party puts the standard down. And if that's where you want to go and you feel the need to participate in that, join us, follow that standard. And our goal is not to deviate from that standard. Deviation is what's got us into this situation.
Deviance is what got us into this.
But you leave the path, you know, you leave the path that was a very sane and sound path. I mean, the founding fathers not only studied biblical principles, but they studied ancient civilizations. And if you go back and look through all of that as well, you'll see that these same principles that are biblical principles were also the principles of successful societies, whether they were Christian-based societies or not, because the principles supersede anything else. And that's one basic premise of the Constitution Party, is that our rights, our principles come from our Creator. And that's another thing that none of the other parties are as strong on, I don't believe, as we are. And in that, because if you accept, what you accept is where your rights come from, is the basis of everything else that you do. If you recognize your rights come from your Creator, then you have other decisions to make in your life regarding that position. If you believe your rights come from the state or from man with a capital N, then you make other decisions based on that. So for us, we believe that our rights pre-exist any form of government and that we have that standard that says government protects those, government doesn't give those. And government can't take them away either. They can try. But you can vote for something, and if it violates a natural law, it isn't going to matter anyway.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Well, hey, we got a listener out here. Tim Piercy would like to either make a question or make a comment. Welcome to the show, Tim. It's good to have you here. Tim is the chairman for the Illinois Party and also chairman for the Massac County Party, and some exciting things have happened down there. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hello, Randy. Hello, Ms. Murray. Thank you for taking time to speak to us tonight.
Oh, no problem.
I have a quick question for you, because you see things, I guess, the bigger picture, dealing with things at the national level more. What seems to be the biggest barrier that you think we face let me include a founder's quote in this. I believe it was John Adams who said that this Constitution is meant for a moral and upright nation, that it's basically inadequate to govern any other kind of nation. If we, as the Constitution Party, are striving to, as you said, restore the rule of law and to return to our founding principles, are we too far gone as a nation, do you believe, as far as Adam's prophecy, if you will, to our morality and our uprightness? How do you see that coming into play across our country?
I see it is far more subtle, even. I mean, you have your blatant examples out there of behavior that people want us to codify and say is okay, which for centuries has not been okay, and also a laxness in a lot of areas, in integrity and honesty and ethics, and that has the result to create the situation that we have, where there is no standard left anymore. I mean, Adams was right about that, and it's very subtle in the fact that we are looking to man to solve our problems by looking to parties, and in particular, that people try to hold on to a particular party because it's been there all these years. It's been there their whole life, and they've always thought that it was one thing, and now they're having trouble accepting that it's not what they thought it was, but they keep one foot in that camp, and they don't come both feet over into the Constitution camp. So they're still hanging on to that safety net that they think is a safety net, when in reality all the compromises, all the lack of ethics, all of that has taken away from us like Adams said it would.
Well, let me make one adjustment to that quote. John Adams specifically said a moral and religious people. And I think that's one of the problems that we have, where everybody's afraid of this whole religion in government conversation. And for anybody who knows me, knows that look at my moniker, the constitutional evangelist. Does that sound like somebody who's afraid of this religion in government and religion kind of conversation? I don't think so. And it's the fact that we have tried to divorce religion from our government to make sure that nobody can speak out morally against wrong. And I think that's by and large, a significant part, but I think it's somewhat indicative of our society. And I am certainly myself asked that question as well, Tim, if that's true, and given the mores of our society, if the Constitution can only be effective for a moral and religious people, is it time to scrap the Constitution now and come up with something else? And quite frankly, that's what's on a lot of people's mind. Now, obviously, I think all three of us on the conversation would say nay in a very strong way. But unless we start seeing a significant change in the mores of this country, we're going to continue to see the decline. And honestly, I think the best we can hope for with the Constitution Party is to put our finger in the hole of the dam of tyranny long enough for a sweeping revival to sweep this nation and change the hearts of men and women and to have a more moral society.
Yeah, I agree, Randy. That's exactly right. We Constitution Party needs to be the light, the standard, so that people can see what that is and what that should have been from the beginning. And we have to be the ideal. And we're never going to attain 100% of that ideal, but if we don't have that ideal and we don't hold it out there, we're not going to get anywhere. The stronger that we hold it, the further people will come towards it, and we can shift the argument towards the Constitution and towards those principles more and more.
Yeah,
that's our job. That's our point. Our job as a party is to provide that light and that standard.
Well, not only the light and the not only to provide it, but to fight against the two-party duopoly that seems hell-bent on continuing the other direction, too. So what do you think there, Mr. Piercy? You think that you think that answered your question?
Yeah, and I'd like to throw this out for the consideration, especially of any listeners out there who might be debating in their mind still what's the appropriate action to take. If we can build this ideal that Ms. Murray just described, if we can build this ideal, we've never believed that we had to have a majority to be able to be victorious. You know, we've often said things like it takes a dedicated minority to ultimately carry the day. But in the case of the Adams quote, even if we have ceased to be a moral and religious people as a general statement, then our best hope is the idea of multiple parties where, for example, just like Lincoln won in 1860 with four major parties, and him theirs being the newest of the four. So it seems to me like as people embrace their ideologies, and if people of faith who believe the Judeo-Christian ethic if they will actually vote conscience and principle instead of just this pragmatic mantra that they've been almost zombified into the saying over and over, you know, you're wasting your vote if you vote outside of the two-party system. And until those people can actually realize that that's a lost cause and that the only hope for our nation exists outside of those two parties,
yep.
Are we going to be able to, seize the day?
Yep, I agree. Well, folks, we're just about at the end of our time. We had momentarily lost Karen, but she's back. In about 30 seconds or less, you got any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners there, Karen?
Oh, yes. Why don't you visit our website and see if anything there interests you. If you're not already interested in the Constitution Party, if you are, consider getting involved in your state party. If you're not already, consider donating to us and helping us get the message out. We can't do it without you, actually. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for our broadcast right now, as we have it set up for Liberty Works Radio Network. Once we finish this show here, we go into the second half, and I'll open the lines of everyone else, and so we could have a little bit more of a discussion if there's any more discussion or questions or comments of anybody. So, folks, glad to have had you with us. Stay tuned. Next week we'll be back with another exciting episode of Constitution Party Talk Radio. welcome back to our second half of the show, and this is our open line segment. I've got one caller out there with the area code 937. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you, and if you've got any questions or comments for Karen or myself, go ahead.
Hey, Randy. This is Don.
Oh, well, 937 is your area code, huh, Don?
That's correct.
Oh, well, there you go. Questions or comments?
No. It was one of those things. I just listened to see how you doing, see how the show was going. I think it was going fine and interesting with Karen. And I just kind of, like I said, just was listening in. I guess the one thing I did have, I sent you an email. I tried to listen online, and it kept cutting off. So that may be something we need to check on.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, every once in a while, Blog Talk seems to have a kind of a bad night. I don't know if it's sunspots or what. Typically, it's a good, clear connection. And actually, there for a while, Karen was sounding like a digital robot for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it just snapped and cleared up. So there's an occasion when there's kind of this electronic kind of a sound. So that might have been what affected you're able to get online.
Okay. Anyhow, like I said, interesting background with Karen and so forth. We're just continuing along. Anybody in Ohio anybody listening in Ohio, just let them know that we're moving forward with trying to build the party here with getting the county chairman in place and finding county chairman. It's been very encouraging. A guy called me from the other side of the state this morning and is interested in working with the party. So,
Don, let me ask you, and let's go down this line for just a couple of minutes, because I think this is important for people to understand. You know, when they're looking at us, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have been looking, and when they find the Constitution Party, you know, they're finding basically a new home, and they are really coming out of the woodwork. So, you know, I know that you've been doing some traveling around there in Ohio, and I'll come back to Tim here in just a minute. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about what is going on in Ohio, and because I think people need to know that we're building and starting building very significantly now.
Well, I think what we're doing in Ohio is, and hopefully it works as a model for other places, but is really building the base. You know, there's always that, and you and I have had this discussion about, you know, you have your candidates at the national and state levels, and that gets recognition for the party. But it's really important that from there that you build a base, and that base starts at the county level. You know, the county can then build at the precinct level. And to get candidates running at the local levels. But to do that, we can't do that at the state level. So what I'm working on doing is going around the state, trying to get people, and it's been really good. We've gotten the word out through our media, like our state website has been very effective at getting the word out. We use the Facebook, the Twitter, all that kind of stuff, but just send out broadcast emails. One thing I inherited was about 1,000 names on our email list, so we've been sending those out, and I've been getting responses from across the state of people that are interested in building the party. And I've developed what I call kind of a cookbook for county leaders, so that county chairmen, so they know what to do and can follow a format to help them succeed. And the whole idea is to try to get these people, because it's a multiplication effort. I mean, I can't do it alone. Nobody can do it alone, so we've got to build it whereby we've got somebody in each county who can build that county, and then the state can help them do that. But the whole idea is to build that so we get people running for local elections, school boards, city councils, townships, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think what you have to say right here is a good segue to bring Tim back, because they had a very significant event happen over the past couple of months where it demonstrates the importance of the local county organization. So Tim, why don't you tell the story about what happened as the treasurer for Massac County resigned?
Well, when the treasurer resigned, it was right after the election, like they usually do. They'll go through the motions of getting reelected, and then they'll pass the mantle on to their handpicked successor, and then they become the incumbent. And
wait a minute. Let me interrupt for just a second. People need to know that the Constitution Party is an established party in Massac County. There are three established parties, the Republican, Democrat, and the Constitution Party. So I think they need to know a little bit about that history, because that's significant to what you're talking about, the importance of the Constitution Party. Go ahead, Tim.
Yes, we've ran the full slate of candidates in the past couple of elections, and we've continued to get the minimum threshold. We had a candidate for coroner got close to 40% this year, so in a two-man race, and so we're making progress there. But after the election is when this the sitting chairman of the county commissioners had been voted out of office, and but he was still in office. They hadn't rotated out yet, and so in his last meeting, he attempted to name a successor to the resigning county treasurer. And it was he didn't follow the procedure. It was turned out to be an illegal appointment. However, there wasn't going to be a challenge from it from the Republicans, because it's the same procedure that they had done in the past also. But because we were active and involved in the process, we recognized what had taken place, the impropriety of what had been done. And in our case, as in most of every county around's case, now we're operating in the red every month, and this was an opportunity. We had a assistant county treasurer who had 13 years experience, who had been bypassed. You'll just have to take my word for it, but it was cronyism. It was good old boy politics. They were just giving a political favor to a local person and naming them treasurer, and over and bypassing this assistant treasurer at 13 years of experience. So as we challenged the appointment and challenged the legality of it, the man who had been appointed ended up, they recognized that they weren't going to win, so he withdrew his name. We were able to actually put forth the name of the assistant treasurer, even though there's not a member of the Constitution Party. The office was held by a Democrat and had to be filled by a Democrat. And so we put forth this assistant treasurer's name. We spoke to him prior. We told him what our desire was, that we believe that their position shouldn't be filled by a full-time person. And it was an opportunity for us to cut in the next 2 years $100,000 from our county expenses without you know, significantly diminishing services to our county. So the whole idea of being involved locally is, that's the part that I really think, if there's anything that's coming from the Tea Party movement and the whole Ron Paul revolution, those things, is that people are beginning to grasp that to really affect change, they have to become involved at the local level, and they have to strive to take control. The people within the Tea Party, some of them are trying to take control of the Republican Party. They're finding out that the establishment will not play by their own established rules, and so many of them are recognizing that the third party is the only hope for accomplishing what we've got to do to take back our country. So we invite them to come and join us at the, if there's enough of them and they're bound to the Constitution like we are, I want them to take over my county. That's what we're doing, is working to replace ourselves.
Absolutely. I'm trying to, I consistently try to work myself out of a job.
I would love to do that at both the state and county level.
In fact, that's why you're chairman of Illinois.
Yeah, by default, probably. But Randy, while Don's on here and Karen's on here, I think we learned a valuable lesson a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now in Colorado, when Tom Tancredo got the Constitution Party nomination for governor, and he ran very respectable. I think he got about 40% of the vote in the thirties in a three man, but ended up losing. But 2 years after that, in 2012, we didn't have anything because it was a top down situation instead of having organizations throughout the state, and so that's what we're really working to try to get past here in Illinois is if we can get an organization in every county, then we're going to begin to make a difference.
Well, you have sustainability, and that's what's important.
Yeah,
I agree. That's what I see more and more is that we need to have counties working. It's kind of a two-pronged thing. You have to have the local, and you have to have an umbrella from the national. Like maybe we can give you some tools when it comes to maybe some ads or things like that. To get the big picture out and then have the counties and the states fill in all the rest. So.
I think that's kind of what Don was talking about, isn't it, Don?
Right. I've spent a lot of time, working to develop tools and that can help people. So because there's no doubt that one of the things that I think is that, some people they're good people. They want to help. They can be really effective, but they're just not quite sure sometimes where to start. And so that was the whole idea, to take that scare factor away so that they don't have to go with, oh, my goodness, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I can hand them a cookbook and tell them, start here. Do this. It will help you succeed. You'll get you get things organized. And it goes through everything. And I actually will be presenting this at the national meeting in Baltimore.
Okay. Randy, I'm going to have to hang up.
All right.
And go now, but I will listen to the rest of this tomorrow. So.
Well, thank you for being here, Karen. I really appreciated it. It was good to have you, and I think you brought a lot of great information for our listeners to the table, and I really appreciate that. So.
Okay, well, thank you, and thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. And
thank you, Don and Tim, for what you're doing.
Well, I think, quite frankly, I don't know, unless there's some more on people's minds and hearts that they want to talk about. We've got some listeners that are listening online, and if you would like to call in and make a comment or ask a question, you can call in to 646-716-5522, and we'll open your mic and let you participate. But I think it's important. Don, you and I have been talking quite a little bit about the importance of, getting that grassroots established and working at that level. And I know that's one of the things that we're working on here in the state of Illinois. Of course, we're really kind of focusing on the 2014 elections now in Illinois. We've got the statewide races, and I'm looking to possibly run for one of those races myself. Tim, have you got some things in the cooker that you want to talk about?
Well, I appreciate what Don was saying about the how-to manual, and the thing that I also see as being instrumental in what little success we have had is not just the how to, but the why to. Because, for example, on our state executive committee, of our state executive committee, six of those members have been with the party for more than 4 years. And so what we're starting to recognize is that the stability or the stability that comes with some longevity in this, you begin to see the successes because you work smarter, you realize what's being effective, and you just do the things that are actually working for you. So what I really wanted to say about that, though, is if the people that have come into the party, into the places of leadership, if they are principled in their reason for being here, if they're driven by the principles of the Constitution, then they're going to ultimately be successful because they're not going to quit. And that's the thing I think all of us have recognized in politics, whether we were involved with one of the two main parties or being with the Constitution Party, is to be successful in politics, the people who just continue to show up cycle after cycle are the ones that eventually get the job done. We've got to continue to be consistent and show up and not get discouraged and disheartened and drop out after we have a couple failures. And that's what 9 out of 10 people that get involved in politics seem to do, is they'll run yep. gung-ho for a while, and then, they get a couple doors slammed in their face or a couple failures, a couple candidates, lose, and they're like, I give up.
Well, and I think it's also important to bring people into positions of leadership because then there is ownership, and I think they need a buy-in as a part of it. And, of course, to feel like they're a part of something. Certainly I get tired of having sand kicked in my face, but, the thing is I see where the importance is, the importance of what we're doing here within the party, the importance of what we're doing nationally and within our states and at our county level, because I believe truly without the Constitution Party, the Republicans and the Democrats get to run amok, and we're sick and tired of it. And I think we have the opportunity now, because people are waking up to some of that reality, to start bringing them in and putting them into positions of leadership, and or at least give them an opportunity to feel like they're part of something that's really about making true change. And actually, that change is all about restoration, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Randy, I'll say this one last thing, and then I'll be quiet. Every morning in our schools, almost every school across the country, every morning they still do the Pledge of Allegiance. And each morning when we do the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm always caught by that phrase, "and to the Republic for which it stands." I know the one nation under God is the crux of the whole thing. But to me, it's that one, that to the Republic for which it stands, because without the Constitution Party, I don't believe we'll be able to pledge to our flag very much longer, because it will not be to the Republic for which it stands. The Republic will be lost, and we're rapidly moving away from that. And the American flag is only the American flag because of the republic for which it stands. And when we cease to be that republic for which it stands, then that flag, unfortunately, just becomes another multicolored piece of cloth that once represented a great republic.
Here's what, before you go, Tim, I would like you to address this, and I'd like for Don to do the same thing before we close out the show tonight. Answer the question, why the Constitution Party? Is it a waste of time, or do we have a real chance bringing change and restoration back to this country. And I'd like to get your thoughts, your closing thoughts on that, you know, and to tell people why it is they need to be involved here.
If you'd like me to go first, I think earlier what you said about the reality of what we face is what you said. I think we're putting our finger in the dike and trying to hold this thing until there can be divine intervention. And apart from some kind of change in the hearts of us as a nation, it's hard to imagine that we're not going to end up on the trash heap of history. But if we will return, James Madison, the author of the Constitution, or the primary author of the Constitution, said that we have staked the whole of this government on the ability of the people to govern themselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And really, when we talk about restoring our Constitution, we're talking about restoring self-governance. We're talking about restoring people who actually can live according to the Ten Commandments of God. Because, you know, our Constitution's it's 7 pages. It's not this huge document the textbook that I teach out of when I teach government classes, they've got a 600-page textbook. And I pull out my little pocket Constitution and I show my students, I say, look at this. This textbook just drives people away, thinks this thing is unattainable, we can't know it. Here's all it is. It's 7 pages. Go to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. Right there it is under glass. Not much to it. Simple principles. And so the answer to your question, why the Constitution Party, is we are practically the only ones engaged in this conversation. When you consider that the establishment Republicans are only engaged in this conversation right before elections, that's the only time, when that's so they can try to steal the constitutional conservatives' vote or bring them back into the party one last time. You know, if you'll just give us your vote, we'll throw you a bone. But the reality is, the only ones that have this as part of their platform, and the only ones that walk and talk and breathe and live and love this is the Constitution Party, the rule of law under God.
Yep, I absolutely agree. Before I ask Don the same question, we have a listener online in the chat who asked the question. In states that don't have a Constitution Party as a registered party or as an established party here in Illinois, do we just register unaffiliated and then join the party anyway? And to answer that question, here in Illinois, there is no such thing as registering for a party, and that's actually true in many of the states. So this question somewhat depends on the actual state that you live in and the laws that apply. But here in Illinois, you only register as a voter. The only thing that determines whether you're a Republican or a Democrat primarily is what primary ticket you pull, whether that's Republican or Democrat. Once the Constitution Party becomes an established party, then people will be able to pull a Constitution Party ballot, and that will kind of indicate that they are now Constitution Party supporters and stuff, but not really registered as constitutionalists. Now, in some states, they do have you register for a particular party, and I know that in some of those states that also have you the ability to register for a party, you have the ability to register unaffiliated. Now, personally, myself, I have completely divorced myself from the Republican Party. Now, the problem is here in Illinois, because many years ago, I actually pulled a primary ticket and indicated that I was a Republican. I still get letters from the state and from the National Republican Party saying, By the way, you want to represent the Republicans in your area? Fill out this survey. And I'm like, really? Me representing the Republicans? I haven't been a Republican in years. I've completely divorced myself from the Republican Party, and I certainly am not a member of the Democrat Party, but there's no way I can associate with an official association with the Constitution Party unless I eventually get the party established here. And again, that changes. So if I had the opportunity in another state where you actually apply to register as a Republican, a Democrat, or whatever, and there was the option to register as unaffiliated, believe me, that's the ticket that I would be running for. Because I completely divorced myself from that party, and I want people to know I have no association with them whatsoever. And so that's the way I would play that. But here in Illinois, we have some Republicans that are actually still precinct committeemen that are working to build the Constitution Party because there's just kind of, in a way, no way to divorce oneself from that except for to resign. But they actually still have a voice. And, you know, as long as they're working to build the party, I think, you know, I don't have any problem with that. Now, if, you know, you had the party was established and you were a Republican committeeman or county chairman or something, then I'd say there was a little bit of a conflict of interest. So he said thank you, and I hope that answered the question there. That's the way I would handle it. Any thoughts on that specific item there, Tim or Don?
Yeah, Randy, we've got kind of the same situation here in Ohio, and actually I have in mind to write a paper on kind of that, particularly for Ohio, because I've had that kind of question come up, you know, do I have to give up voting Republican or whatever? And the bottom line is, in Ohio, you do not register. The only way you register as a certain party is in the primaries. If you go and pull a ballot for one side or the other, then they count you as either a Republican or a Democrat. And of course, it's all set up for the duopoly. One of the points that I make that with respect to Ohio is that, you know, you could actually be a kind of a two-party system, which I wouldn't recommend. But, you know, in those races where maybe there is somebody who's particularly when you're talking local races and that type of thing, where you have a relatively conservative Republican, you know, and there's not or conservative Democrat, I guess, but that may be an oxymoron. But you know, where you have somebody like that, you you don't have a Constitution Party candidate, why, you know, you can still go vote for that person. There's nothing to keep you from voting for that person. Go and vote in the primaries because you want one over the other, and we don't have a Constitution Party ticket. You can actually do that. I think the real issue is that for the Constitution Party, the way we're structured in Ohio and I think most of the other states, there is something unique about the Constitution Party in that you as just a person within the state of Ohio can come and be a voice within the party at our state conventions and so forth. You can come and you can be any member of the Constitution Party who's formally a member of the Constitution Party, and we do have formal membership. You do have to sign fill out a form, and you do have to pay a dues to be a member in good standing. But any member in good standing can come and be a delegate at the state convention. Now, there may be a fee for being a delegate, but you can become a delegate, and you can have a voice within the party, and you can't do that in either Republicans or the Democrats. You have to work your way up to have any kind of a voice in either one of those parties, and it's a long road to hoe.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, and certainly, you know, state by state, that changes a little bit. And the bad thing about it is that open registration kind of a thing provides for the opportunity for parties to hijack one another. I mean, I know that like in 2006 that there was a good chunk of the Democrats that voted Republican because they knew Rob Blagojevich was going to win the election. So they went ahead and went to the Republican voting booths and voted for Judy Bar DePinka, who was almost virtually left of Rob Blagojevich as the Republican candidate. So basically, we had two Democrats running for governor in 2006. It's just one of them had a Republican label on it. So, you know, there's some inherent problems with that kind of a system. But, you know, in those kind of systems, we've got to, you know, as a Constitution Party, adapt and overcome and use the circumstances to our best, to the best ability that we can.
Yeah, we had kind of the same situation with Rush Limbaugh back in 2008, pushing everybody to go to the polls and vote in Ohio and switch all the Republicans to go and vote for Barack Obama to stop Hillary Clinton. And I guess it worked.
All righty. Well, why don't you go ahead and finish up with the question about why the Constitution Party? Why, you know, is people going to waste their time, you know, here? Is it, you know, are they really wasting their vote and all that? So why the Constitution Party, Don? I know that you took a little bit to decide to finally come here. And kind of what was the clinker for you?
Well, I think for me, it was, as much as anything, it was finding the Constitution Party, Randy. I mean, I didn't know the Constitution Party. I've been a lifelong Republican, but I have also been one of those thorns in their side for years. I wrote to my congressman back in 1974, recommending that they privatize Social Security back then, wanting them to do it. And was told by my Republican conservative congressman's aide about how wonderful Social Security was and why would you want to replace it. And I said, you know, come on, Roger, get real. But and I wrote to Reagan about his spending habits after he got in office. I've written to my congressman John Boehner time and again. But, you know, it was just very frustrating that no matter what, I could not get my congressman, my Republican conservative congressman. I'm in basically a what I call a red dog Republican area. You know, they'd vote for a red dog as a Republican before they'd vote for a Democrat. And so but it's one of those that just could not get any traction. And I finally wrote a paper that says I want my country back. And I described in there what it was going to take to get my vote. And I just happened to, the former chairman here in Ohio was running for, at that time for Attorney General of Ohio. And I happened to hear about him from Shooting on the Hip, a local radio station, gun program. And they'd invited all these people to come on, and nobody came on except for Robert. And I heard him and got interested and looked up the Constitution Party and said, you know, I looked at it and I looked at where it said, I want my country back. And it was a mirror image. And I said that, you know, I need to look at more. So I really got to investigating, called Scott Bartlett, had some questions, went through those and, finally said, this is the platform that I believe in. And therefore, you know, it's the party that, I would believe in terms of principle. And so got involved, of course, as you know. And, you know, this last election was very, very difficult because the real message that everybody had on their minds was anybody but Obama. I even wrote some papers on that. You know, the whole mentality and posted them on our website here in Ohio. But, and they're still there. But this whole thing of anybody but Obama, and they were, you know, and it was like, we can't vote for Virgil Goode, can't vote for Constitution, we can't come over to the Constitution Party, because going for the Constitution Party is a vote for Obama. And, of course, as Virgil Goode will tell you, the Republicans really played that down in his neck of the woods, where he had a strong candidacy up until they convinced everybody down there that to vote for Virgil Goode was a vote for Obama. Well, that ship has sailed, and it didn't work because the Republicans had a candidate that I made the point that if John F. Kennedy were alive and running today, given the values and the political positions he held when he ran in 1960, he would be the Republican nominee today. And in essence, he was the Republican nominee. He just happened to be named Mitt Romney. Massachusetts, you know, even though Michigan born, he was Massachusetts bred, a moderate, and they hold almost similar positions across the board between John F. Kennedy and Roberts. So the Republican Party, as many people said about the Democratic Party, like Azell Miller said, you know, they didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left them. I would say the same thing about the Republican Party. I didn't leave it, it left me. It's gone so far to a non-constitutional position that I can no longer stomach it. So now it comes down to, are you going to stand for principle over pragmatism and principle over party? You know, and it's hard. And my grandma used to always say, it's hard to go against your raisins. When you've been raised a Democrat, you've been raised a Republican, it's just hard. You know, you just naturally gravitate. Even you go back to our candidate, Virgil Goode, he ran first as a Democrat. Why? Well, because he was raised as a Democrat. His family was Democrat. You know, but then he realized that the Democrat no longer were the Democrats his family grew up with. They were a totally different group, and he had to leave. And so he went to the Republicans, hoping he could find a home there. And so, you know, the things do shift. But the whole thing is that, you know, it comes down to, are we going to stand for principle? Are we going to give in to some sort of what we think of as pragmatism? And that comes down to the old thing about voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. And after the election, I had a friend of mine here that he was all over my case about, you're just taking away votes, you're just voting in for Obama. And I saw him about 2 weeks ago, and he said, well, I hope you're happy. And I said, well, you know, at least, you know, at this point, I stayed to my principles. I didn't give up my principles. And I think that's what it really comes down to, is are you willing to give up your principles for pragmatic politics? And I'm not. I'm a person of principle, and what I see people coming across, they're coming because they see a party of principle. And as you know, I'm all over the party case too. Anytime I think that they're not, and that's what I really want to see, is this party is going to remain true to the principles of our founding fathers and true to the principles of the Constitution, constitutional government. And if we stand there, I think we're going to see a lot of people in the next few years come over to join us. And as I've said time and again, I'm not doing this for me. I could quit and go back, and I've lived a good life. I can be very happy, but I can't do it to my grandchildren, my grandchildren and their heritage. And that's what I'm really doing this for, is for my grandchildren. And, you know, I had my brother tell me, well, he just didn't want to have to get involved in all that. I said, well, I can't help but get involved with it for your grandchildren and my grandchildren. And that's really what it's all about, is we've got to stand for the principles of this country before it's too late. It's really, really, really late already. And, you know, the current president is out to kill the Constitution totally, kill our constitutional government, create a dictatorship akin to a Stalinistic or that type of, you know, government, more of a dictatorship, where he wants to do things by executive order in order to bypass Congress. And we need a Congress that'll stand up. But I don't think that's going to happen with Republicans or Democrats, and so therefore it's going to have to be somebody like the Constitution Party that's going to stand up to him. And you know, that's where you have a lot of groups that are out there advocating causes, and they want you to donate to them. But the problem is that all those advocates, they are what are called lobbyists. When you give money to some group that's advocating, I don't care whether it's, you know, to lobby, they want to get your congressman to vote this way or that, that's called lobbying. And that's what that's all about. And that's the only – they're trying to change the Republican Party. And what they're not realizing is no matter what their lobbying is, they're not changing anything. what you got to have in order to make change is you've got to be involved in the political process. That can only be done through a political party, and that political party that is already standing for the things that they say they're advocating is the Constitution Party. And what we really need is to see these groups get in line and understand that they need to get behind the Constitution Party, a political party that will affect those changes.
Amen, brother. Amen. I don't think I could say it better myself. Yeah, and that's the whole thing. You know, it's all about, as I had said earlier on the previous broadcast, it's about competition. We need competition. People ask me, well, Randy, what's to keep, you know, let's say you get elected or whatever. And I said, and they asked me, so what would keep you from being corrupt yourself? And I said, the thing that will keep the corruption out is competition. If you don't like what I'm doing, if you've got competition, you can replace me. That's what gets rid of it. That's what keeps us pure. That's what keeps us to giving the best product for the best price. It's at the end of the day, it's about competition. And so we need the Constitution Party, but we also need all these other parties, because they all provide that element of competition to give us the best product for the lowest price, and that means great candidates, great people who will do the right thing and be able to stand upon principles and not waver. So you're absolutely right. All right. Well, really appreciated Tim and Don Schrader, the chairman of the Constitution Party in Ohio, and he's also the regional chairman for the Midwestern region, has 12 states here in the Midwest, and really appreciated Tim Piercy, who is the chairman of the Constitution Party in the state of Illinois, as well as the chairman of the Constitution Party in Mazzack County. And I'm telling you, that's just of any stories that have ever been out there, the story of what happened in Mazzack County is absolutely the justification. It's absolutely the vindication for everything that we've ever said about the reason why a third party needs to be there, because the two parties were in cahoots. And if it wasn't for the Constitution Party, they would have been able to ramroad corruption, cronyism, and all of that other stuff and get by with it. But because the Constitution Party was down there, they couldn't get by with it. So that's why America needs the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Justice Party, and all of these, because it provides an element of competition, and it's that competition that will eliminate the corruption. So really appreciated everyone's participation. Really appreciated our online listeners who came online and asked questions. We'll be back again next week at the same time, 8 p.m. Central Time, for Constitution Party Talk Radio. And just so that people know, I'm working on my next show for Constitutionally Correct, and we're going to talk about women in the military. That ought to be a real good show there. So I'll let everyone know on Facebook, and if you are listening to this and would like to contact us, we're on Facebook. You can look up Randy Constitutional Evangelist Stufflebeam. Or you can look up Constitution Party on the National Party. We've got Constitution Party Rocks. We've got the Constitution Party of Illinois and a lot of the counties covered. So if you want to get in contact with us, by all means, go to Facebook. I've got a Twitter account. You can look me up there. My email is RCS, Romeo Charlie Sierra, RCS@compustuff.org. So that's it for tonight. Thank you again to my guests for being here. Thanks to the listeners, and we'll be back again next Wednesday. God bless you all. God bless the United States, and may God bless the Constitution Party as it endeavors to take on the two-party duopoly. Have a good night, folks, and join us again.